Hi there, welcome to Shiloh Tabernacle London. We're located in Southeast London in Woolwich Dockyard, Block 1, Unit 9, Dockyard Industrial Estate, Woolwich Church Street, SC18 5PQ. Join us for our Bible study every Friday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. and you can't miss our Sunday services packed with prayer, vibrant worship and a powerful word. First service is 9 a.m. to 10:30, followed by our family service from 10:30 to 12:30. And now, for the best part, let's get into the Word.
Praise God, saints of God. I greet you all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I also acknowledge your positioning in the Spirit, because one of the things I have come to understand is that we all have our own rankings in the Spirit, regardless of how we are seen here in the physical. And this greeting comes to you. I acknowledge you in your level in the spiritual realm. I'm so grateful to be able to minister before the saints of God. So that is always a privilege. And so I'm just going to pray as we're entering into the Word. So I pray that your heart is prepared. In the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this glorious day that you've granted unto us. I thank you for the word, the bread of life that you've sent down from heaven for us this night. And Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that as your word is coming down to us, may it impact each heart as you desire it to impact it, King of Glory. May there be impartations in the spirit of a Father. May there be opening in the spiritual realm that we may fully understand and perceive your word. Father, not only to be hearers of the word, but doers of the word, and to hear by the hearing of the word, Jehovah God, that our faith may be grounded in your word, that our faith may be established, King of Glory, that your word comes forth, King of Glory, as we speak it forth, as you give me the utterance to speak your word. Father, let it water a seed that is in the heart of a man. May it also be a seed in the heart of a man. May it come, King of Glory, to plow the heart, Jehovah God, that it may bring forth, King of Glory, 100-fold and 1,000-fold to the glory and honor of your name. I thank you for your word today. I praise you and I glorify you. Holy Spirit, open up new realms that we've never reached before. Bring forth those things which are in the bottom of God, those things, the bottomless things which are found in the Father. May you reveal it unto us, Jehovah. We pray for the spirit of revelation to hover over this word today. And may these words that I speak come forth with grace, with power and might of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So today I just wanted us to share a word, and one of the things I wanted to share about today is the four realms of the word. So I'm a lover of the word of God, and I've been battling all day and all week trying to figure out what to minister to the people of God, and many things keep coming. And I was just trying to allow the Lord to just guide me and lead me into what I must minister according to the people that he's bringing forth today. So today I want to share the four realms of the word in my understanding of it and in the revelation that has been given to me. And one of the things I wanted us to share in the word is, as here on earth, most of the things when we're speaking, we always speak about the length, the breadth, and the height. And if you bring that in reference to the word, which comes in knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. But often we don't get to the fourth realm of that word. And in the fourth realm of that word is the realm of revelation. Now, one of the things I've come to understand is that revelation is a very key part in the work of salvation. Now, we know that the Bible tells us that God's people perish for the lack of knowledge. So that is the first level of revelation, knowledge. That's the first level of the word, knowledge. And when we come to salvation, when we open the word, when we're being ministered to, the first level we encounter with the word is knowledge. So the more knowledge you receive, So because knowledge comes forth as a light, and when knowledge comes forth as a light to us, then we're starting to understand, we're encountering the word for the first time. And when we understand that, that is the first level, which is very key and very important. But then most of us end up staying on the level of knowledge. Yes, the Lord's people perish due to lack of knowledge. But then also just acquiring knowledge is not enough to allow us to get to another realm where God wants us to be as Christians. One of the things I've come to consider, and one of the scripture I really, really, that provokes my spirit is in Ecclesiastes. And in Ecclesiastes, it says, I have seen an evil under the sun. And it says, for a priest walks on foot while the servant sits on the donkey. Now, when I read that scripture, the first thing that was provoked in my spirit is, why is the prince walking and why is the servant sitting on the donkey? And the difference between a prince walking and not sitting in his rightful place, allowing a servant to sit in his place, is because there is no knowledge. That which you do not know, even if it belongs to you, you cannot acquire it. So the first realm we encounter with the word is knowledge. And as all Christians, we should seek knowledge of the word of God. We should desire knowledge of the word of God. But knowledge is only the fundamental beginning when it comes to the encountering with the word of God. From knowledge, knowledge must then be brought forth and established with understanding. So we can pile on and we can get all these scriptures in the Bible. We can know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And we can acquire all of that knowledge. But if we remain on that realm, we're still limited as Christians. We're still limited as ministers of God. We're still limited as children of God. We remain on the level of children. But then God is calling us to come to the point of being a son of God. God is calling us to arise, to get to the realm where we're sons, because the Bible tells us that the whole earth groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. But the sons of God cannot be manifested if we remain on the level of knowledge. It is not enough to know the scripture. If you only remain on knowing the scripture and quoting the scripture, yet not understanding the scripture, there is a lack, there is a deficiency in your life, there is a deficiency in your spiritual walk, there is a deficiency in the manifestation of the word of God in your life. And this is the pain that we constantly see when people say, I have tried, I have prayed that scripture, I have spoken the word of God, and I see nothing in my life. It's not working. But then we have failed to understand that the reason it's not working is you have remained on the level of just knowing it. But God is calling us in whatever level you are with God. Some of you might be at the level of knowledge. Some might be at the level of understanding. Some might be at the level of wisdom. But he's calling for those who are at the level of knowledge that now come, arise. Come to the level of understanding. And then he's calling those who have come to the level of understanding. He says, now arise, come to the level of wisdom. And he's calling those who are at the level of wisdom. He says, there is far more greater, come to the level of revelation. And when you come to that, the reason why I'm bringing revelation is, if we can quickly turn to our Bibles, please. If you have your Bible, please stand with me. And if we go to Matthew 16, and the reason why I'm starting from knowledge, but I want us to bring to what ultimately God wants us to be as Christians. And at this level, this is where you're going to start seeing the manifestation of God in your life, where the word of God comes as life, as light, where the word of God becomes real in your life. Hallelujah. So I'll quickly go to Matthew 16, and I'll start from verse 15. And remembering that as I'm starting this this study of this word, I started saying that there are four levels that I have come to understand at my level. There could be more, but what I've come and what has been revealed to me is there are the four levels we encounter with the word. So Matthew 16 and verse 15, and I'll read for you. Hallelujah. Matthew 15 and verse 16. It reads, 16 and verse 15, sorry, my apologies. So Jesus comes to the disciples. So he says, he said to them, I'll start from verse 13 so we get the scripture more clearly and more vividly. So I'm starting Matthew 16 and I'm going to start from verse 13. It says, now when Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they answered, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God. Then Jesus answered him, blessed, happily, spiritually secure, and favored by the Lord are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So first, if you understand there, Jesus asked the same question. So Jesus, we know that he is the Word of God made flesh. Jesus has encountered us coming to this world. And the first thing he says, who do men say that I am? And some just leave him and just say he is a prophet. Some call him Elijah. Some call him Jeremiah. Some call him one of the prophets. So all of these people have encountered with the word. But some stopped at only seeing the word of God and referring it to Elijah. Some have encountered the word of God and have only left him and only called him as one of the prophets. This is what I'm trying to say. When we read the scripture, when we read this word of God, who do we say? What do we see in this word? So knowledge comes first. Christ comes to all men. But then now Jesus is saying, okay, that is how they have met me. That is the level they've encountered me. Now he comes and personalizes it and say, who do you say that I am? And out of all of them, Simon, Jonah, says, you are the Christ. And Jesus says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And then immediately, because Peter saw something beyond what others have encountered. So Peter jumped from the position of knowing God, knowing Jesus, because you've walked with him, to the level of revelation. He skipped it all the way. And for that skip from knowledge to revelation, God says and turned his name and said, you are Peter. And he says, on this rock, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overpower or prevail over it. Now, this is what I'm trying to say, saints of God. We have all encountered with the word of God, but has it come to the level of knowledge? Because remember, the Bible says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. So the word has come and many have obtained salvation. So they're no longer perishing because they have encountered with the word. So knowledge has come. They have known Christ. They have believed him. They have accepted him as their Lord and personal savior. But then they have stopped there. This is where a Christian is born again, believes God, but then they have a life that is full of struggle. They have a life that is full of pain. Why? Because they have stopped at knowledge. So knowledge only promises you not to perish. So you have known God, you have received him, you have confessed him, and then you have stopped there. Why am I saying that from knowledge, you must, on knowledge, you must add on understanding? Having knowledge is not enough as a child of God. You will be preserved of hell because you've accepted him and you've believed him. But what of your life here on earth? With someone who only has knowledge, they'll say, well, I'm suffering, but when I go to heaven. But we've forgotten that the same word of God has told us that you who forsake everything, I'll give you 100-fold here on earth and in heaven. But one who obtains the 100-fold must begin from the level, must go beyond the level of knowledge. Hallelujah. So we acquire knowledge. We have encountered Jesus. But Jesus talks to Simon and says, on this rock, he says, this has not been revealed to you by flesh and blood. He's saying there's something more, Simon, that you have received. And in receiving so, it is so powerful that your name has been changed to a rock. And now God says, on this rock, I will build my church. He's saying on the revelation that Simon by Jonah you have got, on the revelation that has got you from being just Simon and bringing you to the level and saying, now you are Peter. He says, on this rock, I will build my church. And this is why he says, the gates of hell shall not prevail. The gates of hell cannot prevail against revelation. He says, on the revelation that you have known, that you have seen me beyond Jesus Christ, he says, you are the Christ. So Peter saw him beyond as Jesus, the son of the carpenter. He saw the Christ. And he says, that which has been revealed to you, that is the very thing I'm going to build my church on, and the gates of hell will not prevail over it. And that is revelation. Because knowledge alone is not enough. I want to take you to a scripture where I want us to fully understand, and it's going to show us how we move from knowledge to understanding. And the scripture is, if you all know it, it's the parable of the sower. Let us see what the word of God says concerning the parable of the sower. And from this, I want us to understand, what is scripture saying? How it's going to show us the how one must move from just mere knowledge and coming to understanding. And if we're still in the same book, Matthew, just go back and go to Matthew 13. So we're in the book and now it's chapter 13. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 13. And I'll read the parable of the sower. And we'll start from verse 18. So those who have your Bibles, so if you can follow with me, I'm in Matthew chapter 13, and I'm going to start from verse 18. Hallelujah. I am reading from the Amplified Bible, but you should be able to follow along wherever you are. It says, let me start from, okay. I'll start from verse 18. The reason why I'm starting from verse 18 is for time. So first, I'll just explain to you before the parable is explained. So Jesus talks about that as a farmer went out to sow, and he sowed some seeds. So some seeds fell on the wayside. And he said, and after a while, the seeds were trampled underfoot. And then the birds came, and when they came, they ate up the seeds. Then he said he threw other seeds and they fell on shallow ground. And when they're starting to thrive up, the sun scorched whatever grew and it died. Then the other fell into thorny bush. He said, as they started growing, the thorns also came and choked the plant and it died. And he said, finally, some fell on good soil. And when he says they fell on good soil, then these brought forth 30, 60, and 100-fold. And now once the people have gone away, Then the disciples come to Jesus asking what these things mean. So I'm going to start reading from there. And this is verse 18. Listen then to the meaning of the parable of the sower. When everyone hears the word of God, or when everyone hears the word of the kingdom regarding salvation and does not understand and grasp it, and the evil one comes and snatches it away, what was sown in his heart? This is the one whom the seed was sown beside the road. So understand. So the word has come to everyone. But the scripture says, one who hasn't understood the word, one who hasn't grasped the word, this is the same one as the seed has fallen by the wayside. I will go to the same scripture and go to Luke 8. And verse 14, because I want to see how he brings it out, because there is a rendering that I'm trying to find for you to understand, because one of the Bibles says that this is the word that was trampled underfoot and then the birds came to eat it. So if we go into that scripture, I just want us to get the full rendering of it. Hallelujah. Amen. And so it says from verse 14, when the large crowd gathered together and the people of the city, after they were coming to him, he spoke to them using the parable. So this is the parable I explained earlier. Mm-hmm. He says, the sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell beside the road. And then it says, and it was trampled underfoot, mm-hmm. and the birds of the sky ate it up. Mm-hmm. Now, before we go any further, I'm trying to show you between understanding and just the knowledge coming to you. So we have seen Matthew has told us that what that means is this is someone who has heard the word, but has not understood the word. Mm-hmm. So knowledge can be taken away. This is why you can know a scripture, but if you haven't fully understood it, when it comes to troubled times, you forget that even you know a scripture. So the first thing that the Bible tells us here is that the word, which is the seed, because we know the parable is that the word, the seed is the word of God, first is trampled underfoot before the birds eat it. So this is knowledge. A scripture comes to you like, oh, I've heard it so many times. Oh, yeah, that's another scripture. You're already trampling it over underfoot. You haven't understood it. You've left it at the level of knowledge. Yes, I know that scripture. But have you understood what the scripture is speaking to you? Why of all days God is bringing back the parable of the sower today? Yes, you have heard it before. But what is your understanding of why God is bringing it right now? This is the difference with you keeping what you have received. So understanding allows you to keep the knowledge that you have received. Because the Bible tells you that understanding shall be the establishment of their times. So the knowledge comes. The next level is understanding. Have you understood the word of God? Then he moves on. I'll go back to Matthew 13. I'm moving through these two scriptures so we can mirror back and forth. Now I'm going to the other one. It says, the one on whom the seed was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and at once welcomes it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but is only temporary. And when pressure and persecution comes because of the word, immediately he stumbles and falls away, abandoning the one who is the source of salvation. So now we're coming. So all of these people are encountering God. So some, the scripture comes, the sermon comes, and even before anything, they've trampled underfoot. It's another scripture. We've heard it before. Can you say something new? Yeah, and when that is finished, then another one comes. It's like they hear it, they're excited. But all of these people are missing one important thing, understanding of what they're reading, understanding of what they're hearing. So what does that do? The enemy also comes and snatches that away. So one, he literally takes it away. You forget it. It's like the scripture was never spoken to you. That scripture you've read, it goes out of your mind. That is one way. The other one is when pressure comes, you forget the word of God. That which you rejoiced in today, you forget it tomorrow. Another one, it says distractions. This is the one that grew by the thorns. Distractions and everything come around and choke the word of God out of you. Why am I bringing this? All I'm trying to say is, first you have encountered Jesus. He says, who do you say that I am? Are you living to the point of knowing Jesus? Because knowing is knowing of him. I know Jesus. I've heard it. I've heard the scripture. But then you haven't come to the level of pushing yourself to understand the scripture. And this, it is easy for you to be diverted. It is easy for the word of God to be snatched away from you. It is easy for that word that has come not to be rooted in you, grounded in you. So that is the level that somebody has come to. And when that finishes, so finally, it tells us of the one where the seed grew. And I'm going to read that for you. Because this is not the basic. I'm trying to go through, because remember, we're going through the four ways you can encounter the word of God. Hallelujah. The four stages, if you want to put it that way. And 23 says, and the one on whom the seed was sown on good soil, this is the one who, one, hears the word of God and understands and grasps it. He indeed bears fruit and yields some 100 times. Then he says some 60 times and some 30 times. Now, I want to ask you something. As you're home, we're on understanding. So now you have elevated, you have moved from the level of just knowledge, you have come to the level of understanding. But the scripture says it was sown in good soil. But then it says some brought forth 100, some brought forth 60, some brought forth 30. What is the difference? Why did one bring 30 and one bring 100 and one bring 60? The difference between those two, the difference of how much impact the word of God has in your life, depends on how much you have understood it. So the word has come. You have received it. Your heart is ready to receive the word of God. You have understood it. But now the level of understanding determines the yield that you bring forth. This is why some say, when the Bible, when it says, who do you say that I am? Some say you're a prophet. Yes, they got a part of it right. Jesus is a prophet. He worked in the realm of a prophet. But someone will just live in like Jesus is a prophet and leave it at that. And another one will add on to that understanding and say, Jesus is the word of God. And the Bible says that the word of God is the sure word of prophecy. So on a prophet, he had added on the assurity. He's saying, this is not just the prophet. This is the assurity of prophecy. So where there is different levels of understanding, there is different levels of yielding. So the word of God comes, but to the level on which you're understanding is the level on which it yields in your life. But God is calling us even higher beyond that. Because one who is on the dimension of knowledge, understanding, yes. So you've understood the word. And it has yielded. And you have brought 30-fold. If you're on 30-fold, ask yourself, I need to dive deeper that I may get to 60 and 100-fold. Now here is the mind-blowing part. Here on earth, we, with our understanding, we think that 100% is the maximum. That is earthly mathematics. Now, this is where revelation comes to blow out everything. Because one will plant a seed and say, I'll get 100-fold. And another one, using the same word of God, will say, I'll get 1,000-fold. In reference to what was spoken in Deuteronomy. Because our God is more than enough. He is not limited to the percentage of this earth. Now, this is where it goes beyond understanding. God is saying, yes, good, you've got 30. If you're 30, there was a potential of getting 60. There was a potential of getting 100. And he's saying, even you who is at 100, there is a potential of 1,000-fold. But then how do you get 1,000-fold if you're on the three-dimensional realm? So this is the word of God. How do you encounter the word of God? How does the word of God encounter you? Do you leave it at the level of understanding and be established? Because guess what? The scripture also, if you're Bible scholars, you've read the scriptures where the Israelites planted and they harvested. And then the Philistines came and took everything they had planted. So why am I bringing this? It's because when we're reading the first parable, when Jesus said, who do you say that I am? There is something he said to Peter when he said to you, on this I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail over it. It means there is a level that when you come to grasp it and understand the word of God, the devil is disarmed in that realm concerning your life. He says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, meaning there is no way it can. So what I mean is you can understand, you can bring forth fruit, you can bring forth a yield, and then the enemy can come and can still snatch it away from you. What do I mean? This is why the Bible says, and the, what the locusts here ate and the locahams here, these are things that had grown into from the ground. But now when harvest time has come, it's still snatched away. And God is saying, go deeper. Come forth. You have been established. But now, beyond establishment, there is something more. God is saying, there is something more. What understanding does, if you're a Bible scholar, if you can turn to Proverbs 20 and verse 5, he says, there is great counsel in the heart of man. This is Proverbs 20 and verse 5. There is great counsel in the heart of man. He says, understanding draws it out. So now that you've understood the word of God, it only brings out the counsel of God to come forth out of you. But what do you do with this counsel? Then wisdom comes. Wisdom allows you to apply the word of God. It allows you to apply this word of God into your life. And now you're starting to move. You're in the realm of wisdom. Wisdom is far greater than understanding, is far greater than knowledge. Because it says in the Bible that he became wisdom to us. Christ has become wisdom to us. So every time you encounter the word, now you're beginning to see Christ in the scripture. It's no longer a story. It's the revelation of who he is. It's starting, you're starting to see Christ when it comes to wisdom. Wisdom is the difference between a man who pray, a man and woman who pray all morning and all day and yet have nothing to show forth. The difference is wisdom, because wisdom tells you to apply. What does wisdom do? Wisdom emerges understanding and faith. It brings the spiritual aspect and shows you how to manifest it into the physical. This is where now understanding lets you know that you're a prince. Now you know it. But wisdom brings you to that maturity to take over the authority as a prince, to now start being establishing it into your life, bringing it to manifestation. Yes, you are a child of God. You have known this. Now you've understood it. What have you done with the authority and the responsibility that you know that you're a child of God? Now wisdom comes into play. You are a child of God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Then what? Then what? Wisdom now starts to tell you that take the faith that you've received, add the understanding of the word. Now bring it into manifestation. Wisdom brings results. Because it says, in all thy getting, get understanding. But it says what? Wisdom is the principal thing. Because the reason why it's saying, in all thy getting, in Proverbs, the reason why it says, in all thy getting, get understanding, and this is Proverbs 4 and verse 7, he says, wisdom is the principal thing. And he says, in all thy getting, get understanding. Because he knows, if you don't get understanding, you will not come to the level of wisdom. Don't be deceived. Without understanding, you can't move to the level of wisdom. Because what are you going to apply what you haven't understood? And when we don't get wisdom and understanding, this is where we make the word of God null and void. We trample over it. And we begin to bring the precepts of men and making them the traditions of men become our commandments, and we forsake the commandment of God. This is where we take what somebody else has said to us, and it carries more weight in our lives than what the Bible says of us. Because we have not understood. I don't want it to be just that I'm paraphrasing. Let me go to Proverbs 4 and verse 7. I want us to fully understand this, saints of God. Many things we do in our lives, but we have not monitored why we do them. Anything done without understanding has no faith in it. Anything done because we have heard it said and we have seen it being done, that does not mean that it is what is supposed to be. As a child of God, as a son of God, you must come to that level that the word of God is your reality. It is your fundamental reality. It is what you base your life on. It is what you base what you do upon. Hallelujah. So I read Proverbs 4 and verse 7. He says, the beginning of wisdom is get wisdom. It is the preeminent, it says. And with all your acquiring, or it says, with all your getting, get understanding. It says here, actively seek spiritual discernment, mature and logical interpretation. He says, praise wisdom, and she will exalt you. Now, this is where God is saying, in all that getting, get understanding. But now he's saying, why? Because then from understanding, draw the counsel out. Counsel. He says, there is counsel in a multitude of people. He says, there is great wisdom inside of you. But only understanding draws it out. What do I mean? The Bible says there is great counsel in the heart of man. If we come back to the scripture, which says in Ecclesiastes, it says, I love the scripture. He says, he put eternity in their hearts. Now, you could either encounter it on the level of knowledge and just live like, oh, God put eternity inside our hearts and leave it there. Now, understanding starts to inquire, why did he put eternity in our hearts? Because he knew that he is eternal. And if he was to dwell in your heart, he has to put a place in there that is able to encamp, that he's able to dwell in. Because eternity only abides in eternity. So this is why God said, I put eternity in your hearts. And when he comes to say, now let's make our home in man. He's saying, I'm going to come and dwell in that eternity that I've already placed in your heart. So eternity is in your heart because God put it there. And now he abides in that eternity. So this is why the scripture says, the scripture says, there is great counsel in the heart of man, meaning in that eternity, there is God himself. There is counsel in that. But he's saying only understanding will draw it out. So what you don't understand, you do not have access to. And when you have access, now wisdom comes. Now wisdom comes. Now you begin to apply things. And now you're walking a life of faith. One of the things I've come to understand and is so greatly and painful is most of us walk with hope and think hope is faith. Hoping for something is not having faith. There is a place for hope and there is a place for faith. But if we do not have wisdom, we would mistake hope for faith. Yes, hope, it has a great impact, and we must have hope because a heart without hope fails. It faints. But hoping is not enough. God is not pleased by hoping. He is pleased by faith. And guess what? One can hope, and hope does not require to add an action. But when it comes to faith, he says, faith without works is dead. So meaning faith requires certain activities to follow it. And in the realm of faith, he's saying, the faith of God comes. The understanding becomes the practical side you add to faith, that now it may become wisdom. I have to ask myself, I have to reflect back in some of the things. Was I just being hopeful or did I have faith for them? Because if we haven't understood that, many of us grow faint and weary afterwards because we think God has not worked, but all we've been doing is hoping. And I'm not here to be, you know, but as I'm saying these words to you, I'm saying them to myself. God wants us to arise. Because if we remain in the realm of understanding, we understand these things, but then we do not walk in the realm of faith. We do not come to the wisdom for it to manifest. And even wisdom is not the end of the matter. It's not the end of the matter. Because with wisdom and with faith, we know we've prayed for things. But then this is where revelation comes in. Revelation comes and blows everything out of proportion. Because now revelation, it goes to the level where it's now telling you that what eye has not seen, what ear has not heard, that which has not come into the heart of man, that is what God has prepared for you. So revelation comes to the point, all the things you could ever have faith for, I will do exceedingly abundantly and above all you could ever ask or think. Because when it comes to faith, it will come to that level of what you have hoped for, what you have thought of, what you have asked for. But now revelation comes and says, no. At the end of all that perfection, I grow broader. I come to the level where now I'm going to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ever ask or think, according to the power that is at work in you. What is that power? The Holy Spirit. And he is the revealer of the mysteries of God. So God is saying, you're encountering me. There are four ways you can encounter me. You can encounter me on the level of knowledge and stop knowing that I'm your savior and you will be saved. And heaven is promised. You walk in salvation. You walk according to the word of God. You keep the understanding. You keep the initial faith. And that is good. And you go to heaven. But then it doesn't. That level of knowledge doesn't guarantee you a victorious life here on earth. that level of knowledge, this is where a Christian is battered and bruised. And from that level, people start taking that as the reality. I must suffer. Who said you must suffer? Is it because somebody said that that's their walk? And now you've taken a word of man over the word of God? He took your infirmities, but then infirmity is afflicting your body. And then you come out with words, it is his will. If God wills, it will go away. No, child of God. You have just known him. You haven't come to understand. What did he mean? What did he mean when he took your infirmities? What does that mean for that situation you're in? What does it mean when the Bible says weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning? And then as you remain a child of God and your night is prolonged, waiting for the joy that is coming in the morning. But Revelation comes and tells you, he said, weeping may endure. It may. If something is may, if you know English, it may not. Otherwise, he would have said, weeping shall endure the night and joy will come in the morning. He says it may. So you can either stop at the knowledge that you've read the scripture and wait for the morning. But then if you wait for the morning to come, when will you stand and declare and manifest the scripture that is written in Isaiah 60 says, for the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to open the prison doors to the captive, to declare liberty to the captive and opening of the prison doors to those who are in prison. He says in that scripture, to bring the oil of joy for mourning. So if you are in mourning, when will you bring joy? When will you be the carrier of joy? This is where you have to ask yourself, how am I encountering the word? To what level am I encountering the word? Am I just seeing him as Jesus, the son of Joseph, the carpenter? Am I seeing him as one of the prophets? Am I seeing him as Elisha? Can you imagine taking something that's far lesser and giving it the same weight as God? You're bringing him in Elisha. Elisha was a mighty man of God. Elijah was a mighty man of God. But then comparing God and saying he's one of the prophets, you're saying he's one of Moses. He's like Moses. He's like Elisha. He's like David. He's like, you know, Isaiah. He's like, when you're bringing this, you're bringing something far greater and comparing it to something much lesser. Why? Because in all of these, as mighty prophets as they were, they were still weak. What do I mean? When the moment Isaiah went and beheld and it was open to him what was in heaven, what was the first thing he said? I am a man of unclean lips. Elijah, mighty as he was chased and he ran from Jezebel. I'm just trying to show you that. How do you see the Christ? Are you bringing the situation that you're in and almost leveling it to your God? What does scripture tell you? Are the words that I'm speaking to you, are you taking them as final, or are you going to go back and seek out for yourself what the Bible says? Or are we going to be part of the crowd and join in with everything that is shouted, and we continue in that line without fully understanding it? Why am I saying what I'm saying? Am I doing something because I have seen others do it, or am I doing it because it has been revealed to me to do it? Because what might seem right to the crowd is not necessarily how Jesus sees it. I'm coming to revelation. Because when the disciples were out and God has sent them to minister, they say to Jesus that we found a man who was casting out demons in your name and we forbade him. Can you imagine that? He said, because he was not one among us. If we can go, I'll read the scripture for you. It's in Mark 9 and verse 38. Why am I bringing this? Is everything that you do, child of God, I pray and I beseech you by the mercies of God, that don't do it because it's part of the crowd. Don't do it because you have seen it done. Do it because it has been revealed to you. Because anything that you do out of revelation, that the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. This is why it comes to that level when people see things and then they walk out of salvation because Christians have behaved a certain way. And then you're leveling the Creator, you're leveling the Messiah to a behavior of a Christian. And you cause a Christian, another being, to take you out of the greatest covenant with God, then you have to ask yourself, did I just know him as one of the prophets? Or was he revealed to me for who he is? And was I going to church because it is what they say I should do? Or was it revealed to me why I should go to church? I'm bringing all these things because without understanding, you never get the knowledge, the wisdom. Without the wisdom, you never come to the level of the revelation of God. Mark 9 and verse 38. I'm cautious of time, so I'm going to be ending soon, just so I don't take up too much of your time. But I hope that it scratches an itch somewhere, that you may go forth and continue to seek these things out. Because the Bible says that there was a group when the apostles were ministering that whenever they heard the word, they went back to search the scriptures to see if these things are so. That is the beginning of understanding, is that you're not ready to eat and just leave what you ate and not seek it out for yourself. Everything that has been revealed to you can never be taken away from you. I'm going to read Mark 9 and verse 38. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not accompanying us." Now hear this. We found someone casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him. Why? Because he was not one of us. We did not see him in your teaching. These are men who are walking with God. Now, what I'm trying to say to you is this. How you see things, how the crowd sees things, is different to how God sees things. Listen to what Jesus says to them. He says, but Jesus says, "Do not stop him, for there is no one who will perform a miracle in my name and be able soon afterwards to speak evil of me. For who is not against us is for us." Hallelujah. Now, this is the funny thing. The disciples were sent out to cast out demons. And they came back. And they couldn't chase some demons out, if you've read the scriptures. And Jesus said, "Oh, ye of little faith, you have walked with me, but you have not joined your faith to your understanding, that when you cast out some demons, they don't come out." And if you read scripture, it says, some, he says, when he came to the child with the leprosy thing, he said, some come out with prayer and fasting. So So they were sent out to cast out demons, and they couldn't even cast out some of the demons. And now they're seeing somebody else performing the miracle of God. But because he was not among them, they forbade him. This is someone who hasn't understood the picture. They haven't understood who Christ is. They haven't understood what he is about. They think that he's contained to the teaching of men. He's contained to those they see around him. It had not been revealed to him that Christ can even minister to those who are far off. He's far beyond just the physical body they were seeing. His ministration was far beyond. When he spoke words, they impacted in the spirit, and any man who was readily alerted in the spirit will grasp the instruction that even sometimes what missed the disciples here. This is why in the walk of Jesus Christ, he met men and said, I have not seen great faith in the whole of Israel. And then you're asking yourself, why isn't he saying this about the disciples who are walking with him every day? The difference is revelation. The difference between the disciples who are present at the Holy Communion, yet no one speaks more deeply of the meaning of the mystery of the Holy Communion than Paul, who was never present on the actual act of Holy Communion. The difference is revelation. Revelation surpasses the calm. Revelation brings you to God is taking you out of the crowd. To be revealed unto him, it requires a personal, intimate, intertwined relationship with him. And that relationship is beyond the crowd. That one is between you and him. This is where he teaches you to exercise your spiritual authority. This is why he takes you in the word and you see the word for what it is. I'm sorry, Lord. And you see the word for who he is. This is the difference. And God is saying, come up here, come and see. Come and see with the eyes of revelation. With the eyes of revelation, the Lord allows you to see beyond your time. This was the difference between Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is what deferred Daniel to them. Daniel was supposed to see through revelation and understanding. He saw a vision. He cried out for understanding, and it was revealed to him. He saw the times we're in. Revelation takes you and leaps you bounds. Wisdom is the principal thing. It's beautiful. It allows you to impact your life now. It impacts the generation you're in. But revelation transcends even the generation you're in, and then it goes beyond. This is where men like John were able to see, and they speak of the things we're only beginning to understand now. Revelation takes you out of your times to the future and even further back. This is how that the person who wrote about Genesis was not Adam and Eve, but God revealed it to a man that he was able to see what happened in the days of Adam and Eve, to be giving an accurate accountability of what happened. This is what was revealed to Paul, that even though he was not there in the time of Moses, he could see the devil disputing over Moses' body. This is the revelation I'm talking about. This is what Jude was able to see. And he was able to see the angels who left their position, and he saw them being taken into the bottomless pit and being chained with everlasting chains. That is revelation. And that is where God is calling you. Because when you have such sight, it is no longer about having 100%. Now you can see 1,000% beyond that, because now you see how the mathematics of heaven works. And God is calling us to such a place. And the beauty of that is that God does not require you to be in the magnitude to receive revelation. He requires you to have a continual audience with him. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much for listening to this sermon, and I know you've been blessed. For more information about Shiloh Tabernacle and other sermons, please visit our website, www.shiloh.org.uk. And don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, at Shiloh LDN. Once again, that's at Shiloh LDN. You've been listening to Shiloh Tabernacle London, changing lives, building dreams. Until next time, God bless.